Some people's minds are trapped by the dogma of religion. Others are trapped by the dogma of science. These are all one group owned by the same people. They have rewritten your history and given you a false timeline, and this was done within the last 100 years. By removing the coven law that governed names, they were able to stretch your timeline by using the same images of the same people. What happened in Babylon wasn't a mystery, it was simply removed. By renaming hieroglyphs and altering the definitions of words, they altered your concept of what the word meant. They altered your concept of what heaven, God, and other words are, and then gave you religion to discredit all of it. I believe if Kennedy lived, he would have warned us about what the royals and the priesthood had done. He caught on to Rothschild's company store system, and then he caught on to the Bilderberg. He then demanded from NASA an answer to who the Greys were and why they were here. And that's when they killed him.
The Brookings Report says very specifically, number one, don't tell anybody. If you tell anybody, it will shatter the fabric of our civilization.
His common name was Alexander, and the story went he was experimenting on mankind, and the father of the branch of man said he had no right to do this, and this launched a war for the souls of mankind on earth. By placing everyone in a hybrid body, it meant that either branch could seal the individual at the end of the cycle, rather than strictly the originating parent branch. It allowed the reptile branch, the specific predator of man, the ability to camouflage and enter our societies. If you gave them your oath, then they were allowed to seal you. The story went on that Ur attacked. They pulled Earth through the eye into their territory called the Abyss. They drove the father of the branch of man out through the east gate, and Lilith, who gained control of the system key, locked us in and him out. The keyst was used to capture life and bring it back through the gate, while the ankh was used to put them back under the veil and erase their memory. Elizabeth, who was Lilith, married her brother Ea's son, Alexander, when she was young. When he was killed in the uprising, she married her fraternal twin, George. This earned them the name the Incestuous Twins. When George was killed, she married her son Charles to keep the coven custom of a diarchy. When all of this became an embarrassment, she used the ankh and put everyone back under the veil again. This is why it was known that the coven age created all religions, and that they were called snake worship because they were the branch of Set, whom the Sumerian called An, and the Hebrew and Muslim called Solomon. In every single coven, from Buddha to Christ, the follower becomes incorporated, which gives silent consent for them to seal you at the time of the division of the families. Niflheim is not the name of a race. It means reanimated body. Lilith is queen of the Moloch. Set is the origin of cube worship. Both the El and the Moloch are the two offspring branches of Set, and this is in the Coptic record. Set An became Satan, as Gartha, tunnels, and Hollow Earth are just a pretty myth. You're dealing with the underworld. Their purpose is to add you to their ark. The illusion is that you're dealing with a species of man, whether it's the Niflheim, GFL, or Jesus. This is what Set looks like in the astral. He eats his share of the division of the families. This is the war between Satan and God. Now that I've introduced you to the myth and the legend, it's time to take a look behind the curtain of the Wizard of Oz. Everyone gets the red pill.
When I was talking with the gentleman from Belcom, and we were discussing the lie, everything he was telling me was different from what we were being told was the truth. And at one point I asked him, I said, man, you guys lied about a lot, didn't you? And instantly he said, no, we didn't lie about certain things. We lied about everything. None of it was true.
There are only three locations, heaven, the abyss, and the underworld. The abyss is negative space. It is a binary system fueled by the black sun, home of the Sith Lords and demons, which are beings of negative polarity.
Posee una órbita elíptica y viaja entre nuestro sol y un sol negro que se encuentra a 32 billones de kilómetros.
The definition of the creation is a construct. The planets are on poles, which are the origin of the seven candlesticks. They can leave their pole and follow the tracks. Don't see the planets as they really appear. This is called an arc. Each branch has its own arc. This is the exterior of the construct. The degree lines on this image are not drawn in, they are physical. This is called the map. This is an image of Venus as she really appears, taken February 25th. This is an image of Earth, taken March 10th. Each branch has a father. Mankind is special. because it is the only branch whose specific father is God. The seal is a device. It marks the individual as belonging to that specific family. This allows them to be transported to the ark at the time of the division. The Book of Life is a record of all life that the father of a branch sent into the creation. It is used to recall the family members when it's time to return to their ark. NASA, which is DOD owned, and all the other space agencies are owned by the Vatican and Elizabeth. They do not tell you you're in the Abyss because they are owned and operated by the Sith. It is coven law that each coven must identify itself with a registered coven symbol, which is called a sigil. The vector symbol is the sigil of the Sith Lords, which are the seven system lords. These are the seven candlesticks of Baal. Three dots represent the three kings, the three Ptolemies, Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars.
The Vector, NASA's official logo. If you've ever looked at NASA's official logo, both their official insignia and their official seal, you'll see that the most prominent object in the seal is a red swooshing object. They call that the chevron or the vector. If you ask NASA's public affairs office that this symbology is featured so heavily in their insignia and seal, they'll give you what really amounts to the standard facile cover story for the unilluminated. They'll tell you that is a representation of a hypersonic wing design from the 1950s, which was the time the logo was created. Not exactly the case. Someone might want to ask the Russian Federal Space Agency, Roscosmos, that was formed in 1992, why they chose that same logo. And while you're at it, you can go ask the Chinese, who formed their space agency in 1996, why in the world they're using a hypersonic wing design from the 1950s as their official logo. Then you can ask the Japanese, the South Koreans, Taiwanese, Malaysia, Mexico, Iran, all of these countries, even Bulgaria. They all utilize the vector symbology in their space agency logos for their national space agencies. It gets even deeper. You can go look at the individual manned program patches for NASA. The Mercury program, for example, a blatant use of covert symbology. In every logo dealing with the Mercury program, you'll see what looks like a number 7 in their logo. And again, NASA's official story is that they put this number 7 there so that they could pay homage to the original 7 Mercury astronauts, kind of forgetting the fact that only 6 Mercury astronauts actually flew into space, because number 7 never did. Deke Slayton had a heart problem, so he didn't get to go up. So there were only 6 Mercury astronauts, yet there's a 7 in every single logo. That's in the official mission or official program insignia for Mercury, as well as the 6 individual mission patches carry this logo. And it carries on to the space shuttle program. If you look at the Apollo logo, has a big letter A in it. At least that's what they want you to believe, but it's not. Again, that's just a simple way of explaining away the inclusion of this vector symbology in the logo. If you go to the space shuttle program, the original space shuttle STS program patch is a triangular patch that, again, hides the use of the chevronic vector symbology. And that also goes for many of the STS-specific mission patches. Every single one of the International Space Station expedition patches carry the vector symbology. The Russian Mir space station used the vector symbology. That was their official logo. And you can even go deeper and look at military industrial complex companies. Look at the logo on a company like Lockheed Martin, 2 vectors. The XPRIZE logo, Ames Research Labs, U.S. Space Command, when you get into the military realm, the United States Space Command, their official logo is the vector symbol. And when you look at the military's individual space-specific programs, all of them deal with vector symbology in their official insignias. And the question really becomes, who or what are these people paying homage to? And the truth, quite frankly, is out of this world.
This painting, entitled The Madonna with Saint Giovannino, was made sometime during the 1400s. The artist's name is not known, but at first glance, you can notice a UFO shape in the sky to the right side of the Madonna. If you were to see the original full-size painting, you would see the object clearly. Looking at the enlargement, you can see a man and his dog standing and looking up at the object. However, this painting has something else being depicted. On the left side of the painting, you see the sun and some vector-like objects seemingly flying from or toward the sun. Perhaps this artist was trying to tell us something. In another painting of the Madonna made by a completely different artist, the unusual patterns of the sun and the vector-like symbols have also been added prominently on the Madonna's cloak. You can see the same symbology on this painting as on the one before. This time, however, there is no UFO object to be seen anywhere in the sky. This footage was taken over Mexico City in 2002. There were many other videos and photographs taken of this same type of object, clearly resembling the shapes as seen on the visor of the astronaut, on the moon, and depicted in the 14th century paintings of the Madonna and Child. There is probably a larger story behind the vectors, but it is very unusual this symbology has been adapted by all the United States and foreign space agencies, especially enemies like Iran and others who are also making missions to the moon.
This is an image of the Sith at the sun. They had complete control of planet Earth. No mortal man could fight them back. Any who didn't comply were killed. They owned the corporations which ran the sciences and education. And this is how they were able to lie about the true nature of space.
There's no inside structure.
Is it hollow?
Yeah, there's only a surface. There's nothing inside.
Is the sun actually, do we have combusting in it?
Not burning anything. There's no fusion in the sun. That's well understood.
Proven.
Yeah, well, there's just not the way to prove that there is any. It's only in the flares that you get fusion. That's why all the X-rays. The flares, the arcs, and the X-rays, and the microwaves, and whatever result of fusion in the arcs. There's no fusion in the sun. They don't know how the sun works.
Why do you... What's special? How does the sun make light?
It's a transformer. Transforms from some other dimension. It's not burning anything. It doesn't have to. It's a converter.
Of what?
I don't know. Nobody knows. But that's what it does. That's the only thing it can do, because that's how everything works.
It's transforming from another dimension.
Yeah, you could say it's taking energy from another dimension, counter space. There's no energy, actually. Most of it you can't even measure in outer space or see.
You can't see.
No, you can't see the sun in free space.
So the sun is not visible in outer space?
Not in free space. It's only invisible when gross matter becomes involved, like the Earth's atmosphere and envelope and the surface of the moon or whatever. That makes the light. Otherwise, there is no light. You can see the moon, you can see the Earth, but you can't see the sun or you can't see the stars.
But you can see the planets and the satellites.
Right, you can see material objects, but you cannot see the sources of light. There is no light until there's a material object.
To reflect off.
So that means there's no time delay. So the whole time delay thing is meaningless. It doesn't take light years. There are no light years, because there's no light. So that means that the light you see from the distant stars isn't 4 million years old. It could be only minutes old. It could be instantaneous. All the theories collapse when you can't see the stars in outer space.
Lilith put a firewall around the black sun in order to hide it from our view. It also hid the Eye of Horus and the Papal Key, which is their gate. The stolen mat is wrapped around Anne's Ark. The EM field is not a protection. It is an AI net Ra put around us to hold us captive. It is the origin of the Smith program, the holographic sky. NASA represents it on patches as an electron field surrounding Earth. The Greeks called it the 12 ethers. This is not a camera lens. The rings are always on the side of the sun. The poles are inside, not outside. And when it's in motion, the planets go right off the screen. These are called the master polarity. Their purpose is to divide polarity among the populations. The negative polarity is drawn to the left mast. The positive polarity is drawn to the right mast. They flash in time with the sun's mast. At the time of the division of the families, the left mast is bound and the right mast moves off. That's why they called it the left-hand path of Set. And why they told you there were only two paths, the right-hand path of God and the left-hand path of Set. Another function of the mast is that extended, they act as a guide rail along the tracks, which allows the planet to leave its pole and fly independently. One of the things that Anne's New World Order did was use HARP to break off the mast on Earth in an attempt to sabotage our move. God and the Allied forces worked around this by repairing what could be repaired and bringing in a tow. Earth is shown at the top of her pole, which is called being T'd. We were in T-minus countdown to leave the pole that held Anne and the Asgartha tunnels. Elizabeth and the Covens and Rothschild have run a company store system on the people with the express purpose of stripping the cash from all the nations. They have been using our labor and our natural resources to build ships, to aid the El, to fight against the allied forces of mankind who are being led by one himself. He's come for his missing children. The other branches have come for theirs who are in human form. Time works differently here on this side of the gate. It's been approximately 100 years. On his side, it's only been closer to 10. He never forgot about us. After defeating Anne, he sent the entire fleet after us. On February 24th, 2007, all the Arks entered. As one large force, they started plowing the path. On the right side of the image is the mob. They are plowing down the poles as they get in the way. The illusion that this is a stationary object because it's always on the far side of the screen is just that. It's an illusion. This is Saturn confronting him. NASA cut 5 days off here. Every branch has a father, but it is God personally who is the specific father of the branch of man. While the banksters were openly stealing homesteads by the use of covet means, which is punishable by the death penalty, he continued to plow forward. The Covens use a dual name system. AT&T was taught as An, Tiamat, and Tamil. The UN is Uranus Neptune. It's owned by Elizabeth and Rothschild. It is a Vatican charter. And while the Vatican and the Rabbinate Council worship God El, he was showing them who God really was. And while the rest of the planet had no idea any of this was going on, Elizabeth, the Vatican, the Freemasons, the Illuminati, they had direct contact with the Seven System Lords. And unlike the majority of people, they knew these are called demons because they are the negative polarity. The Wraith, the Archons, and the Ili, which are the El, are in the Coptic record. They were known as brain parasites, the Wraith were symbiotes, and so were the Archons. They require host, they feed on humans, and Elizabeth and the priesthood offered their followers and all of humanity as a food source. And she and the Covens have been implanting humanity, and this is how they've taken over. Everyone that went to a Bilderberg meet became implanted. In front of the mob are two planet ships conjoined. They are making a plow. All the other ships are following behind it. They are in the thousands. This is Ison. It is a ship. I know it is a ship because I know its very human owner. I tease him when I say, maybe one day I'll visit the planet of Bob. From around the globe, on every continent and every island, even hidden in China and Russia, among the most ordinary and overlooked within our population, are the individuals who stood up at the call of the One. And while he moves so fast, he just leaves contrails. And DOD NASA, who works for the Sith, continues to pull images and lie to the public. The elite at the top are fully aware of who this is. And when the mob arrived, they hit Mars and gave it a coma. They hit the Niflheim moon base. They hit the Ili homeworld Mercury. And then they parked right over Earth. And while the elite fed their underlings some BS story, they personally went into full panic mode.
Mm-hmm. My name is Dr. Eric Norton, and I have worked as an outside consultant for the NSA and NASA for going on 12 years now. My security clearance at present warrants my need to take the appropriate steps to keep myself protected the best I can. One of those steps is not to give too much information about myself. What I can tell you is that I have worked as an outside consultant on many projects led by our government, the U.S. government, including with, more recently, the Meteoroid Environment Office, or MEO, which is involved in several research projects with installations located throughout North America. The underlying goal of these projects is to gain a better understanding of the meteoroid environment so that the MEO environment models can be improved. We basically monitor the skies, track meteors and other objects in space, and to date have made some very interesting observations, to say the least. Some very chilling observations, in fact. Observations that, if revealed to the public, would not only change the game forever, and we're not just talking the breakdown of all religions and a total overhaul of everything we've ever known about the universe and space, but we are talking the breakdown of society itself. We are talking about a subject matter that, even up until today, carries with it a level of disbelief amongst the majority of the worldwide community. On January 22, 2012, I was called to the McDonald Observatory in Texas, which happens to be the second largest optical telescope in the continental U.S. I received a phone call from an associate with the observatory and was booked that night on a flight out to Texas, where I was met by an agent reporting to be with Homeland Security. He didn't say anything to me other than that he had been dispatched to see that I had reached the observatory and reviewed the information within that was awaiting me. Now, when I arrived at the McDonald Observatory, I was met by a second man with Homeland Security, and by this time I was really dumbfounded as to what was going on as it pertained to me. I had never dealt with matters of national security, so I was really lost as to what it was that could be so urgent that it warranted this almost security guard-like behavior from these two agents. I was quickly shuffled back into the main observatory chamber, where I met four other gentlemen who were involved with the operations of the observatory. And what they showed me was of such a shock to even my belief system that, once confirmed, I had to sit down and take a moment to get a hold of myself. What I saw, I can best explain in my own words, as an array of massive three-dimensional black structures in space, in straight line formation, advancing in the direction of planet Earth. I know this because I was shown images taken 3 months prior, which depicted the very obvious course of direction by these things, which had moved millions upon millions of miles closer within just months. I'll let you do the math in terms of how fast these things were moving. Now, I was there with the understanding that it was my job to aid in gauging exactly what type of composition these objects were made up of, and whether they were man-made, natural, or unnatural to anything seen before it. Now, using the scientific instruments provided by NASA that are available to us today, we were able to discern the fact that these were not naturally occurring materials, and that they were, to our best but limited understanding, some sort of metallic, carbon-reinforced material, several thousand times the structural hardness of what we have today, whether it be natural occurring diamonds or carbon nanotube type material. The objects seemed to also be emitting some sort of force field that deflected space particles from touching the surface, almost like the magnetic field around the Earth, which shields it from the sun's rays and solar material. The objects were getting so close that with our telescopes we could see the structural features of these things in high detail. They were shaped in the best way I can describe as a three-dimensional L-shaped craft. I use the word craft loosely, as we do not know if these things are piloted or vehicles at all in the strictest sense. All we knew is that they were moving and moving fast. By January 2013, the objects had been tracked to about 200,000 miles past the planet Mars. Once they reached this point, almost instantaneously the objects vanished from our telescope lenses. I mean completely vanished, and as if they had activated some sort of invisibility shield at the flick of a switch. That's the best way I can describe it. We couldn't see them on any form of radar we have or any other visual medium available. We were left scratching our heads, and by this time, I knew that the upper echelons of the U.S. government were worried about these things because I was under a constant 24/7 guard by Secret Service agents who kept a close eye on me every single day since late 2012. I did not go home, go to the grocery store, or wake up in the morning without the reality of knowing that I was being watched. Some very powerful, high-up people were keeping an eye on me and the work that we were doing regarding these objects. Although I was never told about this, it was obvious with what I saw going on around me and the personnel involved. So for nearly the entire year of 2013, we watched the skies in disbelief of what had occurred. We didn't know what was going on or where these things were. According to my calculations, these things would have been so close to us by now that we would have no problem seeing them in the night sky had they stayed visible to us. But as I said, we didn't know whether they were still coming in their recorded direction or if they had simply left the solar system altogether. We just didn't know enough to gauge what was going on and what these things were really here for. I was sent home awaiting orders to continue my work if needed, and for some 6 months I did not hear so much a phone call regarding the situation. It wasn't until all of this commotion regarding the government shutdown, particularly of all the space surveillance projects, that I made some calls to see what was going on. Sure enough, what I had feared the most had been confirmed after I contacted a close friend whom I had worked with confidentially on this project at the McDonald Observatory. I asked him what was going on, and was there something to all of these space monitoring programs being shut down, including NASA, and was there cause to worry? My colleague sounded extremely unnerved when I spoke with him. At one point, it was almost as if he was trembling in his speaking. And I asked him, you know, what is going on here? It was then that he told me that the objects had reappeared and had positioned themselves behind the moon. The blackout of all space monitoring programs was essential to keeping the lid on what had happened. I did not speak with my colleague long due to the fact that he was not supposed to be speaking with anyone and was risking even his own life even calling me back. But what I do know is that these objects reappeared sometime earlier this month and positioned themselves in a circular type alignment, which allowed them to dock to the backside of the moon, or just above the backside of the moon, so as to remain virtually invisible to sky watchers. The things are up there, and they're just beyond our view of sight when we look up at the moon. We don't know what they are, what they're doing, or what they're going to do. We do know that there have already been fluctuations in Earth's gravity field and the gravity field which links the moon to the Earth. These things are stationary, and they are at this very moment sitting behind the moon. No movement, no radio signals, no nothing. We are at a standstill as to what will happen next or if these things will suddenly reveal themselves. It also calls into question just what it is we think about the moon and is there a reason these things chose the moon to begin with to migrate to. You also take into account the recent ballistic Topol mission launch led by Russia, which was witnessed from space by Italian astronaut Luca Parmitano after having seen a strange afterglow above the Earth which looked like a missile contrail. The thing that is strange about this is that the Topol missile uses solid fuel as propellant, so it cannot have been the dump that the astronauts saw. I'm not sure now what caused the cloud, but it's clearly associated with the missile itself. Now couple that with the recent shutdown of NASA and the furlough of 98% of its employees and the shutdown of the International Space Station's live feed, and I think you can start to get the picture. They're definitely hiding something, and I've done my best to describe what that is here today.
If this is what Venus looks like, decloaked, then it is quite possible that three L-shaped objects in straight-line formation look like this when they are cloaked. One of the key targets was the Firewall and the Sith. This is also the location of the Papal Gate. One of the weapons being used is called a gust bomb. As one launches, the other is retrieved. They've been launching these at the firewall the entire time as they plowed their way forward. Serpentarius has been removed from the information. Much has been altered, including the north, south, east, and west direction. It was taught that the 13th sign only arrived at the end of the cycle. On its back it carries the pit. As I watched, the pit formed on time. It then slowly moved into our area. And while people were saying this large object, thousands of times the size of any planet, was Herculobus or Nibiru, we knew it was the filter, which is called the pit. It arrived on time with Serpentarius. NASA lies when it calls these lines on these graphs the armatures holding up the disk. That is just quite simply not true. Everyone awake was watching the cube ships and the other ships fighting in and around the sun with massive weapons fire that NASA continuously calls lens flares. The East Gate was the main prize. It is the doorway to our domain, and Lilith had broken it. The One repaired it, and it started to open. By October, it appeared that the Greys lost the Earth ship Prometheus, and it became stranded and abandoned at the Eye. As it continued to open while the fight continued, people on Earth started reporting three suns. One of the funnier tales, for which I have no images, occurred at this time. The Father of Man, whom you will meet in person, is an old salt. After all, he built this place. I had been openly talking about what I was seeing and what was removed from books, and Ra, who was working openly with the military, set spies on me. And while I was pointing to one area of space, and their spies were reporting this back, the Father of Man took a crew and snuck around behind them. And he caught Ra by surprise at the sun. And he drew the image of a skull on the sun, which completely freaked Ra out. And it still leaves me laughing because it reminds me of this. And in a spectacular move in this Wizard of Oz place, God stole the Eye right from underneath him and hid it. And as of January, the Eye was no longer seen at the sun. And no one questions why NASA's mysterious lens flares have suddenly cleared up. The pit continued to move to its final position, and by February, it was in place in front of the sun. There are a number of planet ships protecting us now, but two in particular are in orbit with us. They are maintaining a defensive stance against the Sith at the sun. The key to spotting them is to watch for the light flashing from their mast. As we watched, the papal key was struck. The top node was blown off. Contrary to what we've been told about space, you could see a visible fire and smoke. It remained burning for quite some time. The two nodes at the bottom are masked. This destroys any hope that the Covens had of escape. As we continued to watch the battle, from February until now, the Allies deployed a pincer array at Venus, which captured Mercury. Multiple large explosions could be seen. One beam from Venus struck the top of the Earth pole, while a beam from the Sun struck the bottom. And the Allies docked Venus and Mercury's planet ships together. And they remain in this position, huddled in a corner. As we watched the changing images, we saw the mob's image change to the image of a hand. We could see that it had grabbed something, and it appeared to be a head grabbed by the throat. It was not till NASA labeled it that we saw that it was Saturn. And this is when we knew that Saturn had been captured. We then noticed that a gust bomb was poised in front of Jupiter, with the mob behind them, neither were moving. And this is when we knew that all the enemy forces had been captured and held still for our move. Meanwhile on Earth, the one was holding Earth in a gamma burst, which has a high vibratory rate. This served multiple purposes. Anything which emits a low frequency or a negative frequency is zeroed out by the higher oscillating wave. The Moloch and the El and the other parasites that have taken human hosts are weakening and dying. HARP, which is being used to target individuals as well as entire populations with ultra-low frequency to increase fear, is also being overwhelmed. Elizabeth Lilith and the Vatican were claiming an esoteric debt on their followers and claiming them for Anne. The one used the subconscious knock to offer his gift among those who were redeemable, but their minds were so locked in fear they unwittingly refused his offer. The gamma burst is to erase their debt and their fear so that they can respond to the subconscious knock. And while the Allied forces kept the enemy busy, the one moved the shop right out from underneath Anne. On March 11th, Earth took flight off her pole, leaving Anne and the Asgartha tunnels behind. And then he dropped a nuke down the inside of the pole. This is what the Earth looks like off her pole. On the 11th, we watched captured Saturn slowly move to exit the mob. Saturn's cube ships had been destroyed, and by the 17th, it appeared as though they were going to dock Saturn and Jupiter. But on Wednesday, March 19th, the Allies destroyed Jupiter. Mars was run to the same corner with Venus, where the same pinchers extended and the same explosions occurred. Mars is now docked with Venus and Mercury. By the 21st, all debt owed to Anne had been wiped out. He has completely lost his share of the division of the families. They will now turn full attention to Earth. The only debt left is owed to mankind. Not just because of the slaughter they had done, but because the covens and their priesthood had offered their followers up as a source of food and a source of host, which allowed the invaders to present as men and spiritually enlightened beings, when in fact all of them were the branch of Set, and their purpose was to get oaths and vows so that they could seal people at the time of the division of the families, without informing people of what that meant, or that they had been sealed without their conscious, knowledgeable consent to any other branch other than man. It comes down to the simple truth. Not a single image posted by NASA or any other Sith-owned operation or priesthood can be relied on. Instead, we have to rely on the information given by the Allies. And they say we do not see the planets as they really are, and that this war is between God the One and Satan, and God just one. The following information is from the Allies concerning how we make the leap forward. I will still be using some of the NASA images for lack of anything better as representation. The Allies are parked above us. They are not invading aliens. Nibiru is not going to cross. You are not going to die. They are moving you out of the abyss. The Allies say the first thing they will do is rotate Earth to the horizontal position for the purpose of flight. All electricity worldwide will be cut off. In the early morning hours, all life that is good will be given the call. This unplugs them and they wake up and stand up out of their body. This is when the veil lifts and all memory returns. The holographic Skynet will have a hard time keeping up with the roll. This gives the appearance that the sun, which was already rising, falls backwards below the horizon again. As you look to the opposite side of the sky, you will see the net is open inside the dome, and all life on Earth is racing for the doorway there. You are drawn to the positive mass to polarity, and from there you're transferred to the arcs. The seal, which was your choice, determines what arc you go to. This is when the DNA upgrade occurs. It is two streams of code which are merged. One stream is provided by you as you come in, the other stream is provided by the arc. Your mind and your body are altered depending on what branch you chose. You exit the transporter in an incorruptible body suitable to that branch. For instance, if you chose Brahma, you leave that portal as a sentient race of bull. Only those sealed by the One who is God go to the Ark of Man and exit the transport as men. This is why your choice of who sealed you was important. Under the law of free will, only you can correct your choice. Because of the deliberate sabotage, the One says he has never seen so few men's names written in his book of life. This is a staggering loss of children, even the indigos. Every time he went to seal his people, the subconscious mind removed his seal. Because of an oath or vow given to another branch that their conscious mind wasn't even aware had been extracted from them. In order to be sealed by mankind, you have to choose mankind and be sealed by the father of the branch of mankind, who is God. It is only because of these hybrid bodies that we are in that this choice exists. Under normal circumstances, only the father of each branch may seal their own children. Because you are human, you may make a choice. The Allies say they can evacuate all of Earth in under 10 minutes. This is when the net closes again, and then they draw the negative mast. The One will skin the El and the Moloch out of their host bodies. Unwitting followers can be redeemed, but the hierarchy at the top knew full well who they made the blood pact with and why. They are true sociopaths. They enjoyed the slaughter and the profit they gained. They are unredeemable. This is the end of the company store system of Babylon, which is run by the Covens of Azazel under the acronym alias New World Order. The law is nothing of the old may go forward, and this will never happen again. Everything that is evil, corrupted, poisonous, and non-beneficial is drawn to the negative mast. It is transferred to the pot, which is then towed to the pit. The dome is completely cleaned out. The law is nothing evil or corrupt may go through the gate. After they are towed to the pit, he comes back and he tows Earth. As one group, we exit through the gate. On the other side of the gate are laurel whorls, whorls of green life and great beauty. Once there, Earth's mat is renewed. It goes through the same translation and upgrade. There is a large party with all of the families, and we call this the gathering. After that, mankind settles down on the renewed Earth, and the fifth book of life starts.